Yes, friends, it's time for Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Let's Talk Mental Health is produced at the studios of KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Good day to all of our listeners, and welcome to this month's edition of Let's Talk Mental Health. This month begins a new series where we will be highlighting local mental health resources. We are appropriately starting alphabetically with Ascend Services. With us today is Liz Strohmeyer. She is the Ascend Services Program Manager, and she has worked in health and human services for over a decade. She started out working with people with disabilities, creating art as employment opportunities for them in various Twin Cities metro locations. She then worked on the residential side for several years and helped start up one of the first individualized housing option programs in the state. More recently, she worked as a program director for housing some of the most chronically and long-term homeless families in Duluth. She now works at Ascend Services, a local mental health provider servicing Duluth to Grand Portage, with a few smaller offices in the Twin Cities metro area. She also serves on the St. Louis County Local Mental Health Advisory Council. Her other passion projects include being her township planning and zoning chair, a volunteer firefighter, and emergency medical responder, and the owner-operator of Soul Fed Farm. In her spare time, she enjoys fishing, backpacking, drumming, and trying to keep up with her toddler. Liz, it sounds like you have a really full life, and with that in mind, can you tell us a little bit about your professional and personal experience with mental health services as both a practitioner and as a manager?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on today. Yes, I tend to have a busy life for sure, but it keeps me going, and I enjoy it a lot. You know, personally, I've had an on-again and off-again relationship with anxiety my whole life. I started quite young, and I just sort of figured out how to cope with it, whether it was healthy or not, for quite some time until seriously, more recently, I seriously got interested in tackling that. And, you know, I have also several family members and close friends who have experienced very mental health symptoms. So I'd say I have a very personal relationship with how mental health impacts myself and those that I love and care for. Professionally, I have been on both sides of advocating and referring folks to other providers, as well as providing mental health services directly myself to folks. After working at Ascend, I kind of now feel like I have experienced both dynamics on both sides, and I love to help people navigate the complex systems, make it easier for folks to have access and receive the care that they really need and desire.
Thank you very much for that. And since we are focusing on Ascend Services, can you tell us a little bit about Ascend Services' history, philosophy, and mission statement?
You know, the history is that we were founded in 2006, and at the time, community-based services for folks with mental illness were really in the infancy, or at least in toddlerhood or toddlerdom. And the state hospitals and other long-term residential housing programs were closed or closing in favor of these community-based rehabilitative services. But many of the providers at the time of these services were existing organizations with other primary missions, and wait lists were extremely long. So people, you know, they typically don't ask for mental health services because they're anticipating a crisis in 3 to 6 months from now. They are asking for help because they're experiencing a crisis right now, or they're experiencing something right now and they need the support. So we saw a need for an organization that focused purely on providing these services and that were able to respond to them quickly. So we started providing adult rehabilitative mental health services, otherwise known as ARMS, in Lake and St. Louis counties in August of 2016. So this summer will be our 15th anniversary. Our mission, though, really is to partner with the individuals with disabilities, illnesses, or injury to improve physical and mental health and to maintain independence and maximize the quality of life. So the way we pursue that mission is to build partnerships with the people we serve, with each other, and with the colleagues and community members that provide responsive, person-centered services that really restore someone's health, maximizing their quality of life, their independence, their level of functioning, and all of that will hopefully lead to improved wellness and recovery. So we are here to support the people we serve and to support each other with the goal of propelling each of us forward towards the highest possible quality of life. So that's our main mission, our philosophy.
Well, Liz, thank you very much. And foundational to any professional organization are its core values by which its employees and professionals operate under. What are Ascend's core values?
We have several core values, and I will say I don't think there has been a day, maybe one, that has gone by where I myself or several of my colleagues and clinical supervisors have not thought about what our core values are. So the first one is responsiveness. You know, when we started Ascend, again, something we saw was there were too often people who needed mental health services that were being put on wait lists, sometimes for months and months and months until they can even get their first appointment. Even after having initial intake, people with a lot of urgent and unmet needs had to endure even more waiting. So that's something that we definitely wanted to change. So that's a huge core value of ours that we focus on. Another is person-centered services. So being person-centered really does begin with applying the core principles of this philosophy. It's unconditional positive regard for our folks that we serve. Person-centered planning really means being strength-based. It starts with identifying and building an individual's current strengths and resources, eliciting them from their personal treatment and recovery goals rather than what we think or we believe is in their best interest, and partnering them with to really achieve those goals. As a practitioner who is person-centered, you understand that your relationship with the person that you serve is the most important element for treatment success. So it's very important to us. We also have a deep commitment and value for diversity. So each person we meet is a guide to new understanding for each of us to grow and to a new and rich experience. We really do celebrate and promote diversity, both with our staff and also with our unique individuals that we serve. A few other core values that we have is really a partnership. Kind of like I spoke to that before with person-centered services, you know, we really value applying that to the work that we do with people that we serve, our work with each other as coworkers, our relationships with colleagues and other community partners. If our mission really is recovery and our goal is the highest quality care possible for everybody that we serve, for staff and for the partners that we work with, partnership is how we achieve both of those things. So in our work with the people we serve, partnership is an extension really of the value of being person-centered. Stewardship of client community resources is something that we really focus on as well. For us, that really means using the healthcare dollars of each person that we serve in an effective and an efficient way as we possibly can, avoiding waste and abuse and providing only medically necessary services that are rehabilitative and not all that extra stuff. So that's really directed towards recovery, improved health, and quality of life. We have a couple others too. So accountability is something that we take seriously. It's nearly synonymous with ethics, but it should not be misconstrued as synonymous with blame. So we really do focus and believe in accountability at all levels. So that means each of us, regardless of the position that we hold at Ascend, accountability to each and every other person in our agency. We really do owe each person we serve and each of our coworkers our best, and we strive to provide that. That kind of leads us to our final one, which continuous quality improvement. That's very important for us. Our owner often says is the only constant thing is change, and we are a really growing and changing and learning organization. So we really flex and adapt as quickly as we can. So we do value stability, absolutely, as a mental health provider, but we also are committed to growth and change. And so because of this, and because of being committed to quality improvement, that we do examine our policies and our procedures continuously, our operating practices or protocols, and how we provide support and supervision to our staff or our techniques and methods for service delivery.
I noted that when I went to the Ascend website, it is very comprehensive and very informative. And the website states that in Lake County, Ascend provides mental health targeted case management to Minnesota residents who are insured through any Minnesota health care program insurance. Can you more fully explain that for our listeners?
We actually offer both targeted case management and behavioral health services, which are similar but different. And we call that at SN integrated care management. So if you hear me say that, it really does mean either. There are various degrees of eligibility to receive case management services or BHH services, but with eligibility for case management services, we found there was a gap created for those who still needed case management, but maybe didn't meet those eligibility requirements. So that's where Behavioral Health Home Services was born. Both of those services look very similar to each other, and really the recipient shouldn't notice much of a difference at all between the two services, but it definitely gives a broader scope of coverage for folks who really need it. The goal of integrated care management is, well, we have several. So it's to improve health outcomes, so preventative health, routine health, treatment of acute or persistent health or mental health conditions, so physical or mental health conditions, improving the experience of care for individuals, really monitoring other services, coordinating with other services, improving their quality of life and wellness through all of this, and reducing healthcare costs by either promoting integration and close internal coordination of all of these services that we provide both internally and externally with other services, and also integrating those services with, again, the other, like whether it's healthcare or employment services or other social services that they receive.
Well, you had mentioned just now the behavioral health home services. And I read that the goal of your behavioral health home services is to improve health outcomes by thoughtful coordination care between physical and mental health care and other service providers for individuals who are not receiving case management services. Something that may be of real interest to our listeners is for you to describe more about the correlation between physical and mental health care, how they go together.
They're integral. Physical and mental health care often go hand in hand for the best stability and recovery. They complement each other, but they can also exacerbate each other. So, for example, if your health insurance lapses, it's pretty common to go without seeing then a primary doctor and getting that much needed dental work done or something like that. Certainly, that will impact your quality of life. But why did your insurance lapse to begin with? Maybe you were experiencing a difficult time coping with a mental health symptom or symptoms, which that made it maybe nearly impossible to complete your renewal paperwork on time to make sure you continue coverage. So instead of working on addressing your mental health recovery, you're now several steps behind because your physical health is not being cared for, and that has the potential to get worse, especially if you have multiple conditions. You know, really the core elements of behavioral health home or case management, either one, it's assessment, it's planning, it's referral and linkage, and it's monitoring and coordinating other services. So that's helping folks that we serve, maintaining that healthcare coverage. And that's essential because without it, we cannot receive the medically necessary services that folks need, right? So you need dental care, you need primary care, maybe you need specialists, maybe you need other things that are happening. There's definitely a strong correlation between the two, and it's hard, you're hard-pressed to find someone that has one without the other, for sure.
Well, I noted also that you have described talking about the individuals that you provide services for, but also I saw under the Child and Family Services that you listed as individual child, adult, and family psychotherapy, skills, training, and behavioral aid services for children and adult rehabilitative mental health services focusing on improving parenting skills. So it's a family organization. What type of family psychotherapy is practiced, and how is it determined when it's to be used?
It's a very good question for someone who is a clinical expert. It can be very complex, and it's very individualized, but I can answer it in broad terms. Each psychotherapist that we have uses a vast array, a vast scope of training and skills that they have. Some utilize IMR or DBT or CBT. The list goes on. There's a lot of resources out there that they utilize, some just solely one, some others. But they all of our psychotherapists share the same goal, whether it's with children, with families, or with adults. And those same goals, really, it's resolution of short-term crisis or mental health problems. It's effectively creating safety plans to mitigate risk of self-harm or harm to others. It's improved understanding of their own experience of the person that we're serving, each diagnosis that they may have. common interventions that can effectively treat them. Sometimes we explore desensitization to and reprocessing of unresolved trauma experiences or underlying triggers, and several other things, you know, developing healthy coping strategies or improving self-confidence and self-esteem, or even having greater capacity to accept and adapt to things that we can't change. So there's quite a few things that our psychotherapists go. There's lots of tools in their toolbox. And some of our therapists have their own unique style. I know that we do have one therapist that's really involved with IMR. And we have another therapist that's really involved with DBT. And so it really just depends on who we can match as the best fit, who has the skill set that would work, and really being adaptive to each individual person and what their needs are. They walk through the door with need A, B, and C 1 month, and 3 months later, those needs may change. And so we do need to be flexible and adaptable to what it is that each person needs.
Liz, I was intrigued when I read that Ascend also focuses on some disorders as well, and that specifically you have an array of services for children under the age of 21 with autism spectrum disorder, ASD, and related conditions. Can you describe what these services are and their functions?
The service you're referring to is EIDBI. It's kind of a mouthful. So it's Early Intensive Developmental and Behavioral Intervention is what that stands for. It is for folks who are younger than 21, who are on either medical assistance, Minnesota Care, Minnesota Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act, so TEFRA, or some other qualifying healthcare programs. And they also have autism spectrum disorder or another related condition. So this program was created in 2013 when the Minnesota legislature passed a law to create the EIDBI benefits for children up to the age of 18 with autism spectrum disorder. Later on, though, they did amend it to expand the eligibility requirements for folks up to 21 with ASD or related conditions. So that's definitely been really helpful for transition, for sure. The purpose of the program, for the EIDBI program, is to provide those medically necessary services, early and intensive interventions for folks, again, with autism spectrum disorder or other conditions very similar and related. And it's intended to either educate, train, or support parents and families to promote people's independence and participate in family, school, or community life, and to improve long-term outcomes and the quality of life for people with their families.
I also noted that Ascend actually addressed a very important mental health component, which has great importance here on the North Shore, and that is school-linked mental health. Your site actually stated that there are services that are provided for the local Lake Superior Independent School District. Would you be able to discuss what those might be?
Ascend does provide school-based mental health services in schools in the Lake Superior School District and Cook County School Districts. These services are pretty much the same as what we would provide elsewhere as well. So diagnostic assessment, clinical consultation, psychotherapy, and CTSS skills training, and it's delivered either on-site in the school or in family homes.
And you just mentioned diagnostic assessment. What diagnostic assessment services does Ascend provide, and would you happen to know what the training qualifications are for the staff, or just maybe give a generic overview of those?
The training qualifications credentialing can be very complicated. We first need to make sure that the diagnostician has the correct credentials. So then we kind of move on to make sure that we're providing the correct amount of clinical and administrative supervision and oversight for each of those people. So we commonly see folks with an LICSW, which is a licensed independent clinical social worker credential, otherwise an LPCC, which is a licensed professional clinical counselor, but it can include other credentialing, a clinical nurse specialist, a licensed marriage and family therapist, a psychiatrist, individual certified by a tribal council as a mental health professional, and many other things as well. So it can be complicated. But then again, once we know, okay, this person has what they need, then we need to make sure that we're providing what that person needs to continue on with the amount of hours for clinical supervision and administrative supervision. So for diagnostic assessments, it's required for admission, for all of the services that we provide. And then afterwards, if we continue to provide services for someone, they are required annually for most of the services. It's essentially it gives you the menu, so to speak, for what folks really need. All mental health or behavioral health services, they begin with that diagnostic assessment, or what we refer to as a DA. The DA is conducted by a licensed mental health professional or a clinical trainee and serves a couple of core components. It identifies whether or not this referred individual has a diagnosis or diagnoses of mental health or mental illness or behavioral disorders. It identifies the diagnoses and the severity. It also preliminarily determines a referred person's eligibility for services, which is very important. And then it does make recommendations for services based on the diagnosis, the needs that person identified that they have during that process, during that interview. In the case of like an annual diagnostic assessment update, one of the several categories that we use to assess treatment progress and success is also updated as well. So we're continually updating that to make sure that it's as true as possible to of someone's situation. And on occasion, we do have to update them more often than annually if someone were to experience something very significant or a very significant change in their life that does affect one or more of those things.
Well, Liz, I want to make sure that I didn't miss anything, give you an opportunity to fill in any blanks I have missed. Are there other information and referral services Ascend provides for those needing help identifying sources?
We offer a large variety of services, but we do have a specific service called Information and Referral. It's a free service to anyone who needs help identifying resources or sources for either healthcare insurance and services, mental health services, affordable housing, resources for disability legal and advocacy services. Although the caveat is we don't give legal advice, but we can direct people to the resources that can. We also give information about healthcare rights, and then there's other community, financial, disability, and community resources out there. So we provide the service at no charge as a part of our mission, and individuals who may need these supports include people who are not eligible for healthcare services we provide, people who may be eligible for our services but are currently uninsured, or people who are seeking help obtaining healthcare insurance. And we have several MNsure navigators on staff to help folks with that as well. I will say that service historically has been out of our Duluth office, but with COVID, we have been very creative in providing that service as well.
Appreciate that very much, especially the part about being very creative as we're all trying to function during this COVID-19 time. As we come towards the end of our discussion today, Liz, if our listeners were to think of Ascend Services, what three main takeaways would you want them to remember from our discussion?
The main takeaway for folks to remember is that we help folks navigate through the barriers and the complexities of getting services. We try to keep it very simple for the folks that we're serving and know that we're the experts for that. Again, our mission, we want to get folks straight to the services that they need. We don't want them to be sitting on wait lists for months and months and months just to have an intake, then to sit on a wait list again for months and months and months just to get the support that they need. So that's important to us. It's a very complex and confusing system. Folks just often come through our doors saying, I need something. And we go, okay, let's get started. And we just jump right into it. We really too often see people forgoing the necessary services that they need because that system is so intimidating and so challenging, especially when you are currently experiencing your own mental health symptoms and maybe you also have some basic needs that are not being met, like housing or food, or you have a multitude of other things going on. You know, as you may expect with COVID-19 over this last year, that has only increased the need for providing more services in the area. If anyone is listening and is interested in a career at Ascend, please check out our website. It's ascendservices.com and see what positions are available. We tend to always be hiring because we are trying to always hire ahead of the need that we have. We currently, with COVID, we just have an enormous need. I mean, we want to make sure that we're serving everybody that we possibly can that needs the help.
Well, Liz, if anybody does contact you about a career with Ascend, I'm thinking I may have to advocate for the radio station to get a finder's fee. So we'll have to talk about that later. But I want to remind the listeners that our subject for this month has been business profiles of local mental health providers. We have started with Ascend Services, and our guest has been Liz Strohmeyer, Ascend Services Program Manager. And Liz, we want to thank you for all the research, the background, the information that you've shared with us. We hope that you have a good day and good remainder of the week. And thank you for being our guest.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
We really appreciate your feedback. You can send emails directly to the station at ktwh.org, or the program also has its own email, and that is lcmhtf@gmail.com. Again, lcmhtf@gmail.com, and that stands for Lake County Mental Health Task Force, and that is the group under which this broadcast is being brought to you by. The North Shore Mental Health Group strives to create safe and welcoming spaces in the Silver Bay, Finland, Beaver Bay, and Isabella areas for those living with or wanting to support others living with mental health challenges. GLAAD, Group for People Living with Anxiety and Depression and Other Mental Health Challenges and Their Supporters, is a confidential peer support group that meets every second and fourth Monday of the month from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Normally, they meet at the United Protestant Church in Silver Bay, but they have been meeting via Zoom since the COVID-19 outbreak. The rationale for the group is that their goal is to ensure that it is a safe place for everyone to both share and listen, and that we are not alone in our suffering. Our depression or anxiety is not all we are. The way to help ourselves and others is to share our own experiences, strength, and hope. The ground rules for the group are: what is shared here is confidential. Everyone has an opportunity to share equally. No one is forced to participate. Feel free to pass. Unsolicited feedback, crosstalk, or giving advice is strongly discouraged. We have respect and compassion for each person without judgment. If you are interested in joining the group, email nsmentalhealth@gmail.com. Again, that is nsmentalhealth@gmail.com. On the Lake County website, there is the Health and Human Services Support Guide, and in it you will see a listing for mental health resources, 9 pages of local resources with lots of websites, phone numbers, and information that you can use. In the county, we also have the Human Development Center, again accessible through Lake County website. And at our own Lakeview Hospital, they have mental health services being provided by a nurse practitioner. If you need it, look on their website. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening.